Back in February, I presented an episode on great outdoor movies. For those times when it's just way too cold, dangerously so, to be outside doing things. The number one movie on that list was Jeremiah Johnson, a 1972 Sidney Pollack movie about a war veteran, played by Robert Redford, who heads into the Rockies during the mid-1800s in an effort to get away from society and make a life as a mountain man. There's just nothing not to like about this film, and if you haven't seen it yet, it's time to get it added to your queue on Netflix. For me and many of my friends, well, we were in elementary school when it came out, it had a profound effect on our thinking with regards to an appealing lifestyle. The movie still comes up on various channels, and I'd like to believe it still affects many kids today in the same way as it did us then, though I'm probably kidding myself in thinking that. There were many appealing elements to the movie, including hunting, wilderness, black powder rifles, mountains, freedom, and log cabins, to name a few. Trapping and beavers were also a powerful draw, and led me to take up beaver trapping during my high school years. Images of ponds and lodges and beaver-chewed trees fueling both my imagination and my drive. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Trapping beavers in Kansas wasn't quite the same as those idyllic scenes from Jeremiah Johnson. Oh, Kansas has plenty of beavers, and I caught enough to keep me busy. But beavers are able to adapt to their environment, and across central Kansas, it's far more common to see beavers living out of bank dens on the rivers and streams, rather than constructing lodges. I bring all this up because a couple of weeks ago I advocated beaver ponds as one of the really great things about fall. As I stare out my office window here of late, watching the leaves turn a really bright shade of yellow, I again find myself thinking about how special beaver ponds can be. When I first saw Jeremiah Johnson, back during my second grade years, I had never seen a beaver pond, or a beaver for that matter, and yet I knew that these ponds looked like great places to be. The many ponds I have been around in the decades since have only validated what I thought back then. Many of you listening probably have experience with beavers. You've seen them, possibly up close and on a fairly regular basis. Even those who don't get out much have an opportunity to see them, if for no other reason than because there's just so many around the area, and they're not exactly shy about being around people and human dwellings. Here in Dillingham, dams and other evidence can be seen on many of the crossings on Squaw Creek and other streams around town. A couple of weeks ago, someone posted a photo on one of the Dillingham community Facebook pages of a beaver crossing Airport Road. And I know it's the same in many of our area villages. You just don't have far to go to find beavers and the habitats they create for themselves. But this episode is not meant to be about beavers, per se. I've profiled beavers on here a couple of times before. Rather, I'd like to take a closer look at beaver ponds. Those really neat, paddle-tail-created habitats that were the setting for so many of the more powerful scenes in the movie, and some of the better places I've ever spent time around as an outdoorsman during my adult years. There can be several distinguishable parts to a typical beaver pond, including a lodge, a dam, or series of dams, a food cache, slides, and underwater runs. Some of those might not be as obvious, or it may be that all are easily seen. Certainly it helps to know what you're looking for. Ponds are formed when dams are constructed, so let's start with that. I remember the first dam I ever saw firsthand during my sophomore year of high school. It was an impressive structure, spanning the width of the Smoky Hill River, and easily higher than I was tall. I had gained access to the private ground it was found on for the purposes of trapping raccoon and coyote. When I came pushing through the brush to the river's edge and first laid eyes on it, it took my breath away. Dams can be large or small, depending in some part on the stream or river the beaver's trying to dam, and they serve a couple of purposes. The ponds formed by dams provide protection against a long list of predators. Beavers are a very popular prey species. They also provide access to lodges and food during winter months in areas where winters are severe enough to cause ponds to freeze over. Branches are the most common building materials, and they are driven into the mud at the bottom of the stream or river to provide a base. However, beavers are opportunistic and will make use of a wide variety of whatever's available to construct dams, including branches, mud, grass, leaves, and rocks. The stereotypical image of a dam is probably of large numbers of wrist-thick branches, stacked vertically to hold back water. However, I've seen photos of dams from streams across the western United States, in areas without much timber, that were constructed almost entirely of rocks. Dam height and length vary greatly according to stream width. Water flow also plays a role in dam construction. Narrow, slow-moving waters will often have a fairly straight dam across them, while wider, fast-moving waters are often curved, with the lowest point of the curve being near the middle of the dam. Beavers have reputations as outstanding engineers. Spillways are built into the design to allow excess water to drain off, and these are often used as crossovers by the beavers to access waters downstream. Dams, as you might expect, are wider at the base, and the top has a slight upstream tilt to it. Again, dams can be quite small or very large. How large? To date, the largest on record is a dam in northern Alberta that's almost 2,800 feet long. It's so large that it can be seen from space. The dam it displaced from the number one spot is a monster in Montana that's over 2,100 feet long, 14 feet high, and 23 feet wide at the base. And beavers being what beavers are, there's every chance that these dams continue to grow in size in the coming years. Beavers build dams based on topography and where they're able to find food. As the proficient engineers that they are, they often select sites on streams where a constriction in flow is already in place, whether that constriction is man-made or natural. This element of site selection can get them in trouble, which I'll talk more about in a moment. Each colony will normally establish one large main pond, and it's on this pond where they'll build their lodge. More on that in a moment as well. In addition to the main pond, other smaller dams are often constructed on the up and downstream sides. These help to provide for safe travel for the beaver while looking for new food, as well as a transport system for getting food and building materials back to the main site. The average colony will dam up to a half mile of stream to meet with their needs. The next most obvious feature to a beaver pond is the structure the beaver actually lives in, the lodge. Lodges are constructed of limbs, rocks, and mud. There are two basic types of lodges, a bank lodge and a conical lodge. Bank lodges are dug back into the bank and covered in timber. Bank lodges are actually a lot more likely to be seen along rivers and streams, and conical lodges are more common on ponds constructed on small waters. A conical lodge is completely surrounded by water. The lodge has a chamber in it where the beavers sleep, eat, groom, and raise their young. Bedding materials such as grasses and wood chips are changed as often as daily. Each lodge will have at least two water-filled tunnels leading from the chamber to the pond, so the beavers can enter and exit the lodge easily and underwater, cutting down on the chances that they'll be spotted or picked up by a predator. The layers of sticks and mud are extremely strong and deter most predators. The walls also provide insulating qualities, and even in below-zero weather, the body temperatures of the beavers inside will keep the inner lodge temperature above freezing. Some other things that you might notice around a beaver pond include runs and slides. Runs are canals and other underwater areas of heavy travel. Runs may be obvious through shallower areas or may appear as underwater channels in slightly deeper, clear water. Runs can be incredibly obvious in places like cattail marshes. Some of these runs can be hundreds of feet in length in order to get beavers safely closer to areas of food or timber. Also, on land you might notice slides. These are areas on steeper banks where beavers travel heavily up and down to feeding areas on the banks around the pond. And one last thing you might notice is the beaver's food cache, a pile of limbs in the water near the lodge. This is the pantry of food items that's collected for the winter. Beaver ponds are special places in that they provide wetland habitat for a wealth of other wildlife species. A beaver pond is often a very happening place when it comes to other animals. In some places, dams help to reduce erosion and sedimentation. However, beavers and their propensity for pond building are not universally loved. Again, depending on location, they can cause damage to the landscape or agricultural crops. Dams and ponds can result in flooding to agricultural areas and road systems. Beavers will often try to dam up culverts to construct ponds, something that's happened here in Dillingham a time or two and doesn't exactly endear them to state and city workers. And they can create problems for other species, such as creating barriers to fish passage, like with spawning salmon. Still, In saying that a beaver pond is, for me, a magical place and fall is a great time to be around one, I'm thinking of remote beaver ponds, such as the countless ones we have on the refuge. Ponds that don't have a downside and provide habitat and resources for a number of different wildlife species beyond the one that constructed it. Changing leaves, a crisp feel to the air, and animals gearing up for the winter. Yeah, a beaver pond is a really cool place to be. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.